So once you've found your spot, just allow your eyes to close. We'll start with a guided meditation for the new people. And then there'll be time for conversation. Hi, Beatrice, Linda, Barbara, Leslie. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming to be together. And as you close your eyes, let that be the threshold into the shrine that we share. So that instead of feeling you're moving away from this little community, feel you're coming closer. We're gathering. Together. And feel that we're gathering together for no reason. Which is the sweetest of all reasons. We're just gathering to share ourselves, but not share ourselves like we would do if we were going for a walk with a friend. Share ourselves as presence, as the most essential. Share ourselves as the most essential. I am reluctant to name it. And we don't do anything, but we don't do any of the things we do when we're outside the shrine, but we do something else, which again I would be reluctant to name, but I guess I am going to have to put words. What is it that we do here and now in the shrine together? When we're not doing anything. Simply allowing. Simply allowing the moment by moment. Flow of experience. And I do this in the knowledge that you're doing that, and you're doing that in the knowledge that we are all doing that, simply allowing our thoughts and perceptions and feelings and sensations to be as they are moment by moment, yet not engaging in particular with them. It's like we're holding our invisible hands together. We're holding hands, our invisible hands, forming a circle, an invisible circle. And we can not only welcome our experience moment by moment, but offer it to the circle. But we don't have to look at what has been offered. We don't have to pay too much attention. To the offerings. We know what they are. They are human layers of human experience, some kind of benign, ordinary, some maybe intense. I feel that as we offer or surrender our experience moment by moment, it's as if our circle, our invisible circle, is growing and growing, becoming more and more space-like. It was already an invisible circle, but now it's just pure openness. Which is what we are. At the deepest of places. And don't make yourself recognize that or know that or feel that, but be open to that possibility. Innocently. It's not something we have to reacquire. It's what we are, for sure, at that deep place. Or I shouldn't say that, because it's not really at a deep place. It's nowhere. It's what we are. But don't make yourself in any way erase or transform or change what you might feel that you are moment by moment, or what you believe you are moment by moment. Welcome the beliefs, the feeling beliefs of what I am, or the thinking belief of what I am. That's what you offer to the circle, to the openness. it's easy. You may see that it's easy, and it's a great relief to do this, or to not do this, I should say. So if it feels like an effort to begin with, see that the effort itself is being offered, surrendered, but that the offering is effortless. Now welcoming the body, your body, welcome your body in particular, because this body, it works so hard on behalf of the separate one outside the shrine. So when we come into the shrine, it's a good idea to give it some TLC. Some open contemplation, open loving contemplation, OLC. Welcome your body, feeling that you that which welcomes the body is that openness, that quality of openness. That in a way is free of the body. Welcome the body as the sky would welcome a cloud. Let the body blossom in you, unfold in you, with all that it carries. And of course, it doesn't display all that it carries in one moment. Bodies. There is no such thing as a body. The body's a movement. It's a constant morphing river of life. So feel yourself welcoming, willing to be caressed by this movement. With all its different textures, there might be kind of raw, just purely physical sensations, and then there may be raw emotional, so-called feelings. There's a difference. Feel your breath. It's like you take a current of the body. It might be the breath, it might be the sensation of weight, it might be your palms, where they touch, what they touch. It might be the feeling in your throat or your belly, the emotion there that was there outside the shrine but wasn't being given open, loving attention. So you follow a current, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. And you say, hi. Hi, body. Sing your song to me. Speak to me. I am the open, borderless presence that allows everything. Feel the quality of weight of the body and feel the holding of the weight, which is such a pattern such a habit we all exercise in order to maintain that sense of being a body, of being a separate body. So just feel the raw feeling, innocent of weight, where the body meets the ground, where the arms and the hands meet the body. Your pelvis, your belly, your shoulders, your elbows, your wrists, your hips, your knees, your ankles. Feel the holding in all the articulations. Don't force a release, but invite the possibility of letting go. Letting go. Feel where the legs and the pelvis meet the earth. And the possibility that there were never two things. That's just a mind that devised a body on the one hand and a world on the other. But actually the body and the world mingle all the time. Feel that. There is no border between the body and the world. Don't think about it too much, rather be open to it. No border between body and world, and I am the openness that welcomes body world. Sound of Ellen's voice. Feel your face and the touch of the air on your skin. You could taste it both ways. You could taste the touch of the air on the skin of your face, and you could taste the touch of the skin of your face on the air. Feel your eyes, feel your forehead, feel your brain inside your skull, feel all the tension, but you don't know that it's tension. Just feel what it is in its raw naked first form. Feel your jaw. Inside your mouth. Just penetrate all these places with your tactile sense out of your freedom. Penetrate your mouth deep inside your mouth. Dive deep down into the back of the mouth, into the throat, with your tactile sense. And then you listen, you might stop. And there's no right and there's no wrong, because we're not looking for anything. And then sometimes you make sure that you don't get lost in the feelings, you don't get caught in a kind of muddy feeling that drags you back into a feeling of density and heaviness. So what you do is you orbit whatever you're exploring. You climb into your spaceship and you just take off. Into the openness, way off into the openness. As far as you want. leaving the body behind, like you would leave the earth behind. And you might look back at the body and see it in its totality and feel it in its totality as one global mysterious formation. And yet not mysterious because it comes right out of you, the openness. And feel that you, the openness, are borderless. Pure openness, no borders. And if you are borderless, then surely whatever arises in you shares an echo of that quality. Of course, whatever arises in you will have a shape and therefore a sort of border. Like the sound of Ellen's voice has a beginning and an end and a vibration. And the sensation of your hands has a shape. But see clearly and feel clearly that the borders of your hands carry a trace of your borderlessness. In fact, they're fuzzy borders. They're not real borders. And feel the same for your whole body contour, wherever you feel a border. Make it fuzzy, make it feel fuzzy, make it a fuzzy feeling, because it is fuzzy. Create the corresponding feeling, fuzzy and open. That's how the body should feel. And it doesn't always, does it? And we mustn't be in a hurry to make it. I'm just suggesting. Feel where the body doesn't feel fuzzy and open. The density. The holding, the gripping, the fear. If it's there, the lines. The no that the body feeling can be expressing. Let that be known. Let's not be in a rush to sanitize or spiritualize the body. It's all okay in the end, in the beginning, and in the middle too. Feel your spine, feel your top, you're the top of your head. Let the top of your head wriggle its way up a little bit. Elongate your top, the top of your head towards the ceiling, gently. At the same time, feel the weight of the pelvis and the legs as if they were dropping in quicksand, in warm quicksand, the earth. It's more like that. And feel your mask, feel the face melting as if you'd placed it under the sun and its wax and its melting. And feel your breath Let it, if it can, let it be free, your breath, meaning feel that the body and the breath know exactly how to engage with one another. Your belly, the in-breath. And feel your arms and your arms, let them be rivers. And be willing to feel where it doesn't want to do what I suggest. And whatever that is, take it in your hands. Where it's dry, where it's dense, where it's painful, resistance. Take it in your hands and then place it in the openness, gently. And your head, top of your head, pushing the ceilings, your river, your arms, river arms flowing, river legs flowing. And feel your arms and let your arms float off your lap and float up. And touch the screen in front, touch the faces of your friends with your palms. Drop your shoulders. Feel the air between your fingers on your palms, now cutting the space right and left, opening the arms. Be the openness that is caressed by the flow of the sensation, rather than being the mover. Now feel your arms, they're long. Tips of your fingers touching way, way off to the right and left. Empty the shoulders, empty the hips, empty the face. Open the palms. And now feel that you inhabit the posture. Enter the body fully. So that you're in the body and you're all around the body. And now the arms are floating up to the vertical, slow, free. Breath is free, still breathing, palms facing one another, tips of the fingers to the ceiling, torso turning towards the left, just a little bit, don't push. Now feel, I don't live in the body lives in me. So that you can really taste the body, let it blossom, let it expand and radiate. Yes, including the discomfort, it's okay. And now the torso turning towards the right. No mover, no doer. And a pause. Empty, empty what is willing to be emptied. And the torso comes back to face the front. Slowly the arms coming down right and left. Take your time. Tasting every micro sensation. Not labeling, tasting, those are different activities. When we label, we don't taste. Slow. Breath. Collapse the spine, let the spine round itself. But don't inhabit the collapsed spine. If you inhabit the collapsed spine, feel a very familiar feeling of a me, a collapsed me, a defeated, hopeless me. But now just welcome the posture without feeling that you inhabit it and in a limited way. Yes, and then slowly from the pubic bone, drawing a line of energy that rises up, slowly elongating the torso. Don't do it so that it, if you do it, you can't feel it. So if you did it, come back a bit, come back, round the back again, and then take your place, this place as the openness, and then somehow feel that it rises all by itself from the pubic bone. You're the openness. It's very tactile, very sensual, caress. Yes. And once the torso, the spine has somehow found its transparent verticality, empty it of its weight even more. For no reason, torso turns towards the left. Torso is moving through a quality of gentleness and friendliness. And as the posture shapes itself, it empties itself into the friendliness. Breath is free. I'm doing this, we are sacrificing the body to the openness, making it sacred. The head turns towards the right. Don't live in the head, feel the head. Sacrifice the head by feeling it, by surrendering it. Don't live behind the eyes, live as the openness. Whatever or wherever you feel that you live as, whatever feeling you feel is you in this moment is what is sacrificed. The head turns back towards the left. Floating. And then the torso turning towards the right. It's not a torso anymore. It's a tenderness. Every little micro sensation is a tenderness. Your hands, when they rest wherever they want to rest, the heat of your palms as they traverse and penetrate, your shoulders called by the palms of your hands to drop, your throat, your heart, your belly invited to soften. And then your helium head turning towards the left, sliding on the space. And you feel all those tiny little jerky bubbles, little bubbles of tenderness. And then the movement stops and it's such a mysterious place. What happens? Things continue to move, don't they? In a big way. Never stops moving. I am the openness, enjoying life. Now the head turning back. Don't do it. Cherish it. And the torso back to the center. Let's make neck and head rolls slowly, spreading honey, smooth, slow, smooth. Feel it's alive, this smooth movement, it's saying something. It's talking to the openness. Stay with the weird corners. When it hits a weird corner and everything seems to go dead or the mind comes back in, stick it out. And then on the other side. I am the body and I'm not the body. It's both at the same time, isn't it? I am this one whose head is moving. And yet, I'm not just that. I'm not limited to that. The head comes back now. Where does it go? How does it know when it's back? Who knows that it's back? Where's my head? How do I know I have a head? Isn't it fun to know that we don't have a head, per se? Nor do we have a body per se in the way that we conceive or even visualize the body in the mirror. Way too limiting. Now slowly, slowly connect with your breath. Without laboring it in any way, without breathing, but just feel your breath, feel your belly, feel your torso, and feel movement. Don't do movement, feel movement arising. Don't think movement arising, feel movement arising. So to do that, feel yourself in the breath and the breath in the body somewhere, maybe in your belly, maybe in your spine, and then feel another current arriving, moving the body, and slowly, just simply allow movement. Without ever visualizing or thinking your body as you usually conceive or visualize it. Stay with a raw, f- flowing sensation, including earth and space, air, temperature. Include the silence or the sound of silence. In a way, include everything that is perceived. And if sounds come, they come. If body stands, it stands. If feet want to meet the earth, and legs and pelvis want to do what they want to do, you just let them do what they want to do. And feel we're in the shrine together, our big circle now full of moving bodies, but not the bodies we visualize or think. Moment by moment, bodies coming out of freedom. Just allow. Moment by moment, movement out of your own experience. And here it's a time for raw emotions to be allowed to take shape, to take flight. Raw energies in your throat, in your belly, in your fingers, in your teeth, in your mouth, in your hair. If something is known, has a story, and is coming up, let the story be here and give it a movement. Story and movement. Something from your day, from your circumstance, from outside the shrine that is here lodged in your body. A confusion, a fear, a sadness, an anger, or a bit of all of that. Start there. If there is another being, person, child, partner, friend that is in your orbit as you move, bring them into the dance or dance for them. Let them be your divine other. There is no one that comes, it's the openness that is danced to. There's no right or wrong, but if right or wrong arise, give them a shape. Feel your sense of touch very alive, your hands, your fingers, your mouth, your lips, your breath, the air, a sense of raw or wild. And feel your hearts, which we don't know where that is or what that is, but There is a connection with that place in our chest called the heart. Feel your heart. How it moves. And although we don't know with our minds in this moment, we don't try to understand with our reason. Allow your intelligence, another intelligence, the knowing that is here, the intuition. Another kind of knowing which you know. Trust it. A knowing that is connected to touch and gesturing and shaping. And it doesn't have to be slow anymore. It can be wild and loud and whatever. It can be whatever, whatever. It can be nothing if it wants. And if it's nothing, if it's stillness, feel the vibration. Yes, trusting whatever arises. And whatever arises that turns back towards the body through touch, feel it's a healing of sorts. Feel that when the body is touching itself, it cannot not be healing. And very, very gently, without brusquing anything, be the stillness, the openness, and let the body come home from the movement, with the movement itself, I should say. Let it come back to wherever it goes when it comes home. Back to stillness. Letting the body be as it is, the feeling of the body. It's innocent. It's surrounded with friendliness. It doesn't have to change. And you, that one, that wave, you, Celine, you, Corinne, you, Eugene, you, Sean, you, Mark, you, Leslie, Barbara, I can't name all of you, but you, Ellen, just feel your innocence. You're okay. In all your modes. in your I'm not okay mode, you're okay. You are held tight. In those moments, you're held tighter. You're held tighter by the openness. I'm not sure how the openness can hold you tight, but it can. That you that's not okay, seemingly. Of course, there is no such a you, but when that you seems to be there, it is held tight. Just remember that, she said to herself. Just feel the gentleness of the breath. And don't do anything. Feel we're in the shrine again, we're coming back to that invisible circle, holding our invisible hands. And now feel that we're holding our visible hands together, even though we can't, but just visualize this community of friends that we are. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Gently, maybe open, close. Have a look who's there. Hi, Nicole. I forgot you were coming. So sweet that you came. Okay, I have to come closer. Hi, everyone. Thank you. Okay. I think you probably I feel quite tender today. Like I'm a little, I could start crying or something. I hope it's not too. Anyway, and it's, I just want to say that guided meditations like this, I feel like I'm in a way, you have to come with me where I'm at. And I feel very grateful for that, because you might be in a very different place and you just somehow you have to come with me. So thank you for coming with me. And feel free if you want to say something or share something or ask anything, just wave and you'll unmute yourself. We have about half an hour. Hi, Leslie. Maybe I'll say something practical to ease us into a more chatty, just practically that I've got a new lovely new angel called Eugene, who's right here and who's helping me with all my kind of admin stuff and more. And so from now on, when I do you want to say hi, Eugene? Just say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Anyway, Eugene will be sending the links. So they're coming from a new email. And so just check your spam might not, they might have landed in your spam today, but little by little, if you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Either spam or promotion tab. You should check promotion tab on your email.
Okay. Whatever that means. Anyway, it will be fine. So that was a practical thing. So now you should all be back out into the outside the shrine, ready for a good old chat. I guess not. Oh. Q. Keith, yeah. Hi, Keith.
Hi.
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 Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
yeah,
you.
Actually, I was just discussing with someone the other day. I don't know why I tend to be so open and talk easily in these groups. I don't really understand it, but I do. Anyway, when you didn't mention my name at the end, when you were mentioning people's names, I felt so dejected.
Did you, Keith? Oh.
I felt like I was...
What an opportunity.
Well, it was. I really, really felt like this, oh, I'm so insignificant and nothing and valueless. This really, really small and...
Did you go deeper with it, Keith?
Huh?
Did you go a bit deeper with it?
Yeah.
I mean, what a beautiful opportunity, honestly.
I know, but what was weird again was that also was when you said that the awareness holds us tightly.
Mm.
Well, when I went into the feeling rather than thinking,
yeah,
went right into the feeling, it became a really contraction with my solar plexus pulling right in. And then you said, oh, breathe. Breathe easily, and my solar plexus was pulling me in. I could hardly even breathe, but it somehow felt good to be turning the sort of thoughts in a way and ideas around being worthless into a physical thing.
Exactly.
But it was painful. It was really pulling in and being quite painful in the end.
Yeah, but okay, that's we all, you know what? Don't you think you're the only one, man? This is a place we all know, one way or the other. And it's so good to be able to take it one step deeper than the usual I'm worthless, I'm tiny, I'm nobody. That is the separate self, you know, in its splendor, in its pathetic splendor.
Yeah, yeah.
All due respect, I have my, you know, my own pathetic, so I'm not saying this to, so when you have it like that, right, you know, I think I'll keep doing this, naming a few people so that other people have an opportunity to, because it's, you have the big fish, you know, you have one of the big
yeah.
fish, and, but then it's not over, you know, then, and, but the yoga has given you, you know, the way, which is not to do anything, but to really allow this to be felt, to see it for what it is, to let it be felt, and not in a mechanical way, but as best you can with the suggestion of openness and lovingness might be not accessible then, but it's the first step. You are allowing a deeper layer to surface, which you've allowed probably in the past, but in this environment, in the shrine, you know, it is a very good thing for it to come up and for it to be seen. For you, the real you, Keith as more than that, let's put it that way.
Mm.
And the proof is that you experienced it as an appearance. So you are not it, or you're not limited to it. But it is a convincing little story.
Yeah, because it's interesting. It turns it more into a physical, almost yeah. random event, rather than having some meaning.
Well, to begin with, it's the story. I'm worthless. I'm tiny.
Yeah.
I'm not loved. And then you take it to the body. You find a correlating feeling there. You find pain in your solar plexus and contraction. But then you start to see that it's moving, and maybe it's intensifying. Maybe it's. But it is. It is alive. And if you take the story away, it really is an intense feeling. And if you were to stay with that, and then if you were to include the totality of your experience, it would lose its intensity. It would just become something. It wouldn't become something. It would just be known. And also the your attention would go back to that which knows it. So there would be less separation between it, the feeling, and the knowing, the openness that knows it. And it's something about that, the softening of the border, that you were never an isolated fragment, but that is the story of the separate self.
Well, something really like that was happening, that sort of paradoxically, as the physical sensation became more painful, that was exactly the same amount as the story of being small was disappearing. It was translating into physical.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I do see what you mean. And then you have to also then, as I'm saying now, little by little, touch that which is perceiving this. Because if it's been perceived, what is it that is perceiving it? And so anyway, it's good, Keith.
Yeah, I know.
And you're not little, and you're beautiful. Okay.
Thank you.
And I've got a question.
Hi, Patricia.
Hey. I'm wondering if when you feel pain, you know, or sensation, saying you might call it the sensation of pain in the body, when you're doing this, is every sensation the me? Do you know what I mean? Is it because I heard of something called body armoring. But I don't.
Oh. Are you talking about physical pain? So I think what you're saying is a physical pain also an expression of separation?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Because I think what you're saying is that you've identified the feelings in the body that are expressions of separations, but are more neutral tensions, expression. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is actually what I'm saying. I'm wondering. Yeah. Experience, and I'm not saying it as a judgment of myself or whatever.
No, I understand.
But I'm just wondering if you have a lot of, say you haven't done yoga for a good long while, right?
Yes.
And a lot of
tension. Stiffness.
Yeah. Is that actually because, and with no judgment, actually because due to life circumstances or whatever, you buried all those senses of separation?
I don't, not necessarily, no. I mean, if you haven't done yoga and you're you're in your 30s, right, Pat?
Yes.
And your body's going to be stiff.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't imply that there's a, it's not necessarily an expression of defense or, you know, that way that the separate self takes residence in the body and defends itself and separates itself. It's not necessarily an expression of that. It's just an expression of being stiff. Mm-hmm. However, when we start to listen to our body, like we do in the yoga, often what we feel to begin with is a web of tension. That's not necessarily emotional, like we feel tension in the shoulders or in the face. And there, that is in a way an expression of the separate self. I don't like to use that word separate self, but it's an expression of what it takes to maintain that feeling of I'm separate. So it is a kind of armoring. The separate self is a kind of armoring, and it is that kind of web of tension. So it's for you to see what is a habitual tension that comes from, like, for example, you know, in the sessions, we, to begin with, often we release the weight, because when we welcome the body to begin with, what we become aware of is patterns of holding the weight. For example, not completely letting the body weight surrender to gravity. Why? Because that's a subtle habit of the separate. I'm a body and I'm not, I'm in the body and I'm not
you know.
So that even though that sounds quite neutral,
yeah,
it is an expression of the separate self.
Yeah.
So it's for you to kind of. But if I haven't done yoga in 2 weeks and I go to touch my toes, and it doesn't feel great, that's just kind of.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Don't be shy, okay? And you can ask about anything because I have got all the answers, of course. Mercy, do you have a question? Kind of, sometimes I feel you do just by looking at you.
I enjoy your humor also. But it's an interesting process. I have been dealing with quite a lot of physical pain this past year, and how big it can be in daily life, like how it can be all encompassing my whole being. And then when I go in this place you guide, or I can go in my meditation, how it's just like a little, like a spot is not really right, but it's so little. And just feeling that contrast, how, oh yeah, it's interesting just to follow how it feels, that sensation. It's just a little dense, that's all. But, and then again, how big it can be.
Yeah. Are you talking about physical pain or emotional pain?
I'm talking about physical pain, yes.
Hmm.
So I'm just watching that and.
Yeah, I think it's again. I think all you can do is exactly how you, as you say, watch it or experience and explore with it. And I think the more you do that, the more that quality that you have a glimpse of in these meditations and probably in other yoga meditations you do, of that field of openness, which is genuinely loving, you know. But when we're back out there, we forget that we have such a habit of feeling ourselves to be a fragment in an unloving space. It's not even, we may have understood very well that that's not the truth, but at the level of the body, it's such a default. It's just really, really old habit of contracting. And then if there is pain, kind of we create more tension around the pain by going there on with our attention and kind of wishing it away, or wishing that it would change, or wishing that it would relax, or it draws our attention in not such a friendly way. That's why the yoga,
it gets so big because of the thinking, because of projecting and making the whole story about it, like how the future is. And when I can let that go, it's
well, you have all the keys, Ursi, so take your kitty cat and hug it.
Thank you.
To see you. So, Maria Rosa.
Ellen.
Oh, somebody said Ellen. Is that you, Maria Rosa? Hi.
It's me, your heart.
I don't know who was.
Who was it? Oh, dear heart. So why don't I let's listen to Maria Rosa first, and then you, dear heart. Okay.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Maria Rosa.
Hi. You know, I have always been kind of a restless being, in the sense that for me, meditations have always been like a struggle, in this sense that I feel often like I need to move before it actually happens, right?
Yeah.
So I cannot resist it. It's just stronger than myself. And it often has to do with the fact that I begin sensing things that inside I feel I can kind of release through movement. So I just do here and there, you know, a little adjusting. Which, I'm curious what you have, what, you know, if you can say something about that, you know, the importance of like holding still. I remember I was once in a 10-day Vipassana meditation and I was just so committed to not moving, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think it's for you to call the shots. If you feel that, I think it's interesting to explore the stillness so that you can really meet the resistance. The restlessness is worth exploring because it could be, you know, because it may be holding layers of feelings and, you know, just I know for I'm the same, because I'm a mover. So for me, stillness can be challenging. And so then it's interesting to explore what it's bringing, but then also to, it's both. Then let your body move. And I think if you get the sense that you're resisting or avoiding, wait a bit, check it out, see, welcome that feeling that before you move, welcome the feeling of wanting to move.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That is an avoidance maybe, or I want to move on. I want to go into the future. I want to, right?
Yeah. Kind of like
I want to express. I mean, you're a dancer, you know. I want to. So, it may be sometimes a distraction from really, really beginning to touch the peace and unmoving quality of that which is welcoming experience. At the same time, with me, it's tricky because I probably encourage movement. I mean, even though we're really following the non-physically moving movement of the body, so that might entice you to start to move the physical body. So I think you just have to be honest and trust yourself.
Yeah,
does that help?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's value, a lot of value in trying that out.
Yeah.
Because when the moment that starts, that we actually move, and often is the hands or the turning to one side, you know, it's like I feel like, finally. Yeah. I just feel like...
Well, I think then maybe it's too much stillness, and then you could listen to the meditation and do very slow movements in the beginning part when it's not moving.
Yeah.
I experiment with both, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Dear Heart, Good Pasture. I love that name. Hi there.
Thanks.
Is it your first time?
Sorry, it is, and I'm terrible with technology, so I didn't know how to do the hand racing thing. So
don't worry, because none of us do it. We wave here.
So, okay. So I have a question, and mine has to do, it's kind of a combination question, actually, of it's an in-betweeny of you and Rupert. So it's a synchronicity, I guess, because the daily quote that came in from Rupert this morning was, and I'll read it to you. It says, devotion is love directed toward an other. Divested of the other, our devotion is nothing to run, to turn towards, and as a result, vacillates for a moment, flows back to its source, and stands revealed as pure love. So I guess like that's something that I've been experiencing quite a bit, and it's a little bit new to me.
Do you have a question, dear heart?
And yeah, so as far as that goes, I guess like my question would be, with like in your experience of that, in like in embodied relationships, I just have a lot of questions about that, because how does that work? I mean, obviously you have an embodied relationship, or at least that's the way I perceive it. And then like,
it you mean also, with someone, or do you
what I'm experiencing? Yeah, like it seems like there's an other from the way that I perceive you, but then it seems that you're experiencing that as just pure love in the way that I'm experiencing it. So when I look at those things, I just don't know how that works.
Dear Heart, you know, can I just say, is that your heart? I do, but the connection is very bad, so it's a bit difficult to hear you, and there's a bit of a delay. And also, your question is it's a very beautiful question about devotion, but I'm not quite finding your question, which tells me that I think somehow I want to tell you, don't worry about it too much. Follow your heart, because if you understand the quote, do you understand Rupert's quote?
I do, yes.
So just stay with that understanding. Because it says everything, that quote. Are you there? Are you with me?
Yeah.
In other words, don't worry about if there's another. Like right now, there's two of us. Let's say we were lovers. You know, you could be devoted to your lover, and you're devoted in an embodied way to this other, in the knowledge that this other is just the first face of God. I'm not finding or feeling you, dear. I'm not sure what I could say to help with your exploration. That's good.
I've had the devotion path, and so I feel like it almost was part of the path, but it wasn't, you know. I guess what I'm saying is, then, I mean, for you, having, like, you have totality, you know? You have totality.
I'm not
What's
sure
that
I have
like.
Well, okay. I'm not sure I have totality, dear heart. I'm just like you. I'm in touch with a full understanding, and sometimes I'm in a position of devotion towards the truth. Sometimes I know myself as the truth, and sometimes I'm just like you, feel myself to be a separate self. with a feeling that I love another person, and then I'm more in the marketplace of love, if you see what I mean. And those three positions I'm familiar with. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to pause the conversation, not because it's not a good conversation, but because the connection is not very good, and also your question's not clear to me, and I'm inviting you to come back to me with a clear question about what you're asking, what you really are asking. But I encourage you not to compare yourself or have any grandiose ideas about teachers, you know, or that they have everything, the totality. Everybody's more or less on the same. I mean, maybe some of us have explored for longer and have more clarity, you could say, or more stability and a certain understanding. But honestly, it's not my experience that I have the totality. Okay, I'm gonna leave it at that. But please come back, okay, dear heart. Bye. I don't feel like I've quite satisfied you, but so be it. I think Nicole, you said somebody else was Holly. Go ahead.
Hello. This isn't a question. This is just sharing. This session just now was, I don't know, something sort of special happened, I think. You know, when you're moving around, I've kind of noticed that when you, like definitely with me, when I just catch myself at a certain angle, for example, I think it was like the hunching of the back and shoulders this time. It's like I get kind of little glimpses or images of what I kind of thought, or based on memories of myself, or like, oh, this might remind me of how I used to be like this. And the kind of peeling off of the labels or the offering to the shrine that you say in the guided meditations, like, I think just a voice in my head just said, I'm going to give it to you. Like, I'm giving it back to you. Mm-hmm. And it felt like just kind of tiny bit sentimental, but also just.
It's okay. It's not sentimental, really. Holly. It's not sentimental. It's that feeling. I don't think, I mean, I wasn't in your experience, but I think there's something about it that's holy, actually, Holly. It's like a holy feeling. It's not sentimental.
No, well, I mean,
It's devotional. That's what it is.
What I was going to say was like a tiny bit sentimental, but mostly just a really loving feeling.
Yeah.
And just very, yeah, just kind that's of free. Nice. Yeah. So I think I very much felt what you meant when you said, giving to the shrine. Well, I was giving to you, but giving to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nice. I'm glad that it could be understood, because it's not rational when I say something like that. It's really an image, but yet it points to a very real possibility somehow. And you, it's an esoteric image. Like, you know, it's more in the Christian, you know, the Christian of offering to the shrine or the sacrificing of the body and, you know, the sacrificing. It is an image, but actually it translates in a very real way.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bridge, isn't it?
Yeah,
an image that will lead just back to the source. Yeah. And when I get those like more and more feelings like, oh, there is no space or time, and I really feel it, it's like my whole body just goes just like explodes. It's a really intense feeling,
and it's lovely that you share it with us, because you know it really doesn't make sense but it does make perfect sense, but it's hard to put into words. What I mean is it's hard to put into words. It makes sense, but it's hard to put into words.
But yeah.
Thank you, Holly.
Thank you for listening.
Of course. Christopher. And then, go ahead, Christopher.
Hi
there.
Didn't want to unmute. Hi.
Hi.
I also have found something in the part where we could just move both this time and last time, which is a great freedom. And I've learned a lot. And I also have trouble sitting still. And so in that, you know, allowing my body just to do what my body wants to do, and it's not in service of some task that I have to, is a freedom. And also have discovered that it's very hard for me to sit still, my mind goes everywhere, but somehow with just letting my body be the breath and move the way that it wants to, I find stillness in the movement. And it's almost as if there are no difference between stillness and movement at those times. I don't know how to explain it, but it's really.
Well, you've done it perfectly.
Thank you.
Yeah. And what about in the moments where the movement is more limited and postures?
I have more difficulty with that, but it's also a great opportunity. That's when
exactly
the tension comes up sometimes, yeah, in different spots. And especially last week, I realized that I go to judging myself for having the tension, right? And like, obviously I'm not doing yoga, or I'm not doing this, or I'm not stretching, and I should be doing these things, you know?
So those moments that are slower and more difficult are an opportunity to catch the layers of resistance and judgment and all this. Whereas the moment of free movement for you is a moment of really tasting something to do with your essence of freedom, and you said it very nicely, but perfect. It's like there's two aspects to the yoga for you. Mm. A kind of yoga aspect and a celebration aspect.
Yeah. Mm. I like that. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes.
Thank you for sharing, Christopher. Because I don't think you didn't speak before, did you? You've been around for a while, but.
No, I haven't.
Mm. Thank you. Alrighty, Coco, your turn, Corinne.
Hi.
Hey, hi, Coco. What do you have for us this week?
Well, I do have a poem that I'm so glad it fits today. and also just this one. That me? Oh, the loud sound. Is that you? Okay.
You're fine. We can hear you.
Oh, good. I do have a poem, and I just wanted to say this one thing that came to mind first when Keith was speaking, but then everyone made this so relevant. And it's from Rilke's Letters to a Young Poet, and it's from letter 8. And I so recommend this book. But you've probably all heard this quote, but it's so perfect. He says, how should we be able to forget those ancient myths that are at the beginning of all peoples, the myths about dragons that at the last moment turn into princesses? Perhaps all the dragons of our lives are princesses who are only waiting to see us once beautiful and brave. Perhaps everything terrible is in its deepest being something helpless that wants help from us. So you must not be frightened, dear, than his student's name, if a sadness rises up before you larger than any you have ever seen. If a restiveness like light and cloud shadows passes over your hands and over all you do, you must think that something is happening with you, that life has not forgotten you, that it holds you in its hand, it will not let you fall. And the rest of that letter is so beautiful too, but anyway.
That's pretty perfect.
And this, I found this in a box I was going through earlier. And you mentioned innocence a couple times, and you said something about, you feel the air touch your face, but also your face touches, you reversed it somehow and it was beautiful. I thought, you'll see, I hope, I don't know.
I'm sure.
It's called Nice Snake. And it's by this man named Godfrey John. And this poem is based on a true story, I think. I read that. Slowly and with no mistake, the giant snake is inching up the veranda where the five-year-old sits, joyfully sloshing her cereal. As if planned and without noise, The boa constrictor guiltlessly encircles the chair and the child in his coils. He lets his eyes come close to hers. "Nice snake," she says, lifting a spoonful of milk up to his mouth. He feels excused. He sips the milk. She lifts the spoon to her own lips. His innocence coincides with hers. Valued now, he waits. She feeds him again with special care, one for you and one for me. Suddenly, he dips his mouth deep into the bowl. The child taps his head with her spoon and says, and laughs, "Naughty, naughty, wait your turn." The boa constrictor meekly places his scaled face against her cheek. Repentance is response to love.
Hmm.
Once again, she lifts her spoon full of light. His lips sip. They take turns till the bowl is empty. Unhurriedly, then, he uncoils and slides beneath the veranda steps. We must demythologize. Innocence cannot be earned. Innocence is imminent. Innocence is untouched by guilt or hurt or old age. Innocence is a child with a snake and a bowl of cereal, astonishing the day, celebrating art.
Mm. That is so perfect. You know, Corinne, sometimes I feel like you just listen to the meditations and I don't know how you get the essence of what I was conveying.
It's, it's mind. It's so perfect.
It's so amazing. you're kind of got again, you got a kind of magical witchy gift about that. Thank you, Coco. And thank you, everyone. And feel free to unmute, say goodbye. Nicole, it's really nice that you came.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome anytime.
Mm.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. I'm not going to say names. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, Keith. Yeah, bye, Keith.
Bye, Keith.
Bye, Keith.
Bye, Keith. Bye, Keith.
Bye, Keith. Bye, Keith.
Nothing to expose. Where's Keith?
Thanks, Len.
He's so big, that Keith.
Oh, thanks, Ellen.
Bye. See you soon. See you next week, I hope.
See you soon. Thanks, Corinne.
Oops.
Coco, bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.